by stilling your mind, by concentrating at the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, where the soul receives at the time of death. There you become conscious of your, if not, you become awareness, self-awareness, by rising, by forgetting the physical body. Then that controlling power is within you. You see? Then you can know him. That is why all masters enjoin that we must know ourselves first. Self-knowledge precedes Godhead. So when you become concentrated, sotvanta, as I told you many times, that sotva, the attention is to whatever way it is, I mean directed, you can work wonders in that line. It's all feet of the attention. You first become attentive, you see, concentrated within your own self by withdrawing from all outside. Then you are able to know yourself first from rising above physical body. Then by rising still, cosmos, you see, or macrocosm is in the microcosm. Jo brahmande so hi pinde jo khoje so paave. So we have got the physical body, physical. We have to rise above it. Then we have got the astral body. We have to work in the other self, higher self. And then still beyond there is a plane which is called causal body. And beyond that, when you rise above first from physical body, you will have self-awareness. When you rise above astral body and causal body, you will rise into your true I-hood. You will see you and Father are one, I and my Father. So the whole thing depends on concentration of your attention within yourself. Then whichever way you direct your attention, you will work wonders. So that attention is genuine. It is just directed to the body like wrestlers, you see, they become physically strong. When that attention is directed to the centers of your brain, we find a wonderful inventions we make. And that very attention, when it is directed to the over self, it becomes the mouth you shall go. So remember, what you find there, your inner eye open, God into expression. Power has two phases, light and sun. We are all worshippers of that great light. In whomsoever that light manifests, he is a true follower, he is a true Sikh, he is a true Muslim, he is a true Hindu, he is a true Christian. So these schools of thought are there. If we have to see how many students have reached that goal. That very school is, you see, creditable, who turns out many such like people. So remain in any formation, in any school of thought you are on. But the purpose for which you have joined that school, that should be before you. And that is to have God consciousness. You cannot have God consciousness unless you have got your own self, your own consciousness. How to invert from outside, this is there. Just you have the impetus from somebody who is God, who is Sotvan, with little thought of his many things. Many people sit down, their attention will be withdrawn from outside, leave the physical body, for a while you open the inner eye to see. When you see him only, then the two love comes from within us, because we see, we enjoy him. That is why we can have love for him truly. With the world we have got love because we see. Whom we have not seen, how can the true love be there? So for that they say, sit by somebody, you can open your inner eye to see the light of God into expression. When you see naturally it is all love, and you are also a drop of the ocean of all that, all love, you see, your love will flare up. Then when your inner eye open, you will see the light of God within all the temples of body we are carrying. You see, God is light in every heart. You are there too. But our attention is only diverted to the outside things. We have become as if we are identified with them. We are so much so that we have forgotten ourselves, you see. Unless we have self-awareness by retiring from outside and then rising above outgoing faculties, at the seat of the soul, where soul, when leaves the body, it comes over that. There only you have awareness of yourself, only then the further way can be had to the yourself. You can have contact with that. It is only possible there. That is what almost said, know thyself first. Without that you cannot know God, because God cannot be had by outward observations. You see, kingdom of God is within you. You have to invert inside, tap inside, emotion side. That's the basic thing. You see, God consciousness is the highest goal. And these schools of thought were meant only for that purpose, guided by such like masters who had that experience with themselves and could give demonstration of that to others. They are competent with a little thought of them to withdraw the attention from outside, rise above body consciousness, and open the inner eye to see the light of God. Who can do that? Only such a truly speaking, according to the saints, is a real guru or sadhu. True guru is the God in him. No one. We respect the Son of Man at whose pole that is manifest. So remain where you are in any school of thought. All schools of thought were meant for that purpose. Now we have to see how far we have advanced when we have got the very purpose for which we joined those schools of thought. Then you have made the best use of your man body. If not, then please wake up. It is getting too late. Already we have wasted our lives. Just make effort to be on the way. And for that purpose, ABC will start when you rise above body consciousness. When the world philosophy, then their religion starts. And this experience of rising above body consciousness is given by somebody who is competent. And when you sit by him before that, you are as it were a blind man, you see all darkness. When you sit by him, your inner eye opens, you see darkness. No darkness, but light. You may have got a little capital of that to start with, then dwell from day to day. So that is the bread of life and the water of life, which is the bread of life. So our spiritual health depends on life of mind and body more. This is teachings given by almost all masters who came in the past. So long as they were there, they had that experience. When they left, their golden treasures are with us to guide us. But true interpretation will be given by only such like people who see. Others at the level of intellectual interprets in so many ways. So masters see and then say. And they are also able to give demonstration of seeing, opening the inner eye to see the light. I'm just talking of what devotion, what special practices bear fruit. Such like devotion is worth to be called a devotion if you're devoted wholly, solely to one object. God is one. God in man is also one. Not the man body, but the God in him is one, or master is one. Your whole attention should be there, wholly and solely, so much so that you forget everything else except it. I was just giving some examples for that, to understand it. Which particular form of devotion or bhakti bears forth fruit, which is one-sided, you see? One center of that. They are devoted to one and one alone and nobody else. Just like Arjuna. He was asked by his teacher, Dronacharya, the art of archery. earthly. So there is one heat and there is some water below in a basin. And there is one bird sitting on the top of the tree. So he told him, look into this reflection in the water of the bird. You have to just direct your arrow into the eye of the bird. Then he asked him to look into the water. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the tree and the bird sitting on it. Then now, again see whole attention into the eye of the bird. Then he asked him, what do you see? He said, I see now only the bird, not the tree. Again he said, then again with more devotion, senses, look into the eye. Then after that he asked him, what do you see now? He said, I see now the upper quarter part of the bird. Then again now see attentively into the eye of the bird. What do you see? I see the head of the bird. He said, no, still, see further. Then he said, I see now the eye of the bird. Then direct your arrow. You follow? When our whole attention is riveted at one place, only then that bhakti can bear fruit. If you see somebody else other than your master or the God in him, well, this is no bhakti. We are respectful to all others who help us on the way. But the God or the God in man is one for all. If your whole attention will be there, naturally your devotion, your practices will bear forth fruit. God is one, as I told you. He wants everybody to go to him all alone. He should not carry, even think of the body in which he is sitting. That he be there, that the very Ishta to whom he is devoted, he should be there. Such like devotion will bear a source through. Some people see master or God talker going around him with open eyes. The other don't see it. They wonder how they got it. The strong man revels in his strength, and a weaker man wonders how he got it. So it is a matter wholly and solely of concentration on one point. So such like devotion bears whole fruit. Now see, some people are enjoying that devotion just like a lady who is married. She's always thinking, she's all devoted to the husband. In word, deed, and thought. And there is another one who has got so many men with whom her heart is attached. Well, the one who is devoted only to one, he enjoys. His whole attention, you see, derives it into her husband. And such husband will also like such a wife who thinks of no other man except his husband. You see? Similarly, the husband would like any such one who only adores him and nobody else in her heart. A heart who is just devoted to so many men outside, thou married to one man, what is all that? So if you want that your devotion, your love of God bear fruit, then be holy and solely. Think of him, see him, hear about him, and nobody else. Those who help us on the way, we are thankful to them. Their bhakti, our devotion will bear whole fruit only when we are wholly and solely devoted to him. So much so that you forget yourself too. Now when we go into deep sleep stages, sometimes we mutter something. Whatever is, you see, our subconscious reservoir is full with the worldly thought, those very things come out. He says, what is the criterion of a man who is wholly and solely to one object? Kabir says, generally when we go to sleep, as I told you, we mutter something very deeply about which we do not know, because that is the result of overflowing of the thoughts already in this subconscious reservoir of our mind. That comes out. He says, if such a state comes, if any in deep sleep state, the word of God or the master comes off its of the mouth, then satyam and holy and solely devoted to the man. So we say, what will I offer to the such a man? You say, offer my flesh, my skin for the making the shoes of his feet, for his feet. You follow? Which form of devotion bears forth full fruit? Which is wholly, solely devoted to one. One mind is devoted in so many things, so many scattered minds, so many, what you say, parts of the mind, some attached here, some there, some there. Such like devotion won't bear forth. So if you want that our devotion from day to day bear forth fruit, and we see the fruit in our lifetime with our own open eyes, then let our attention be wholly driven to the feet of the Lord, or the Lord in some manifestable thing. You see? The result will be for His sake. If you love all the world, you are not attached to the world. If you are, if I love you, for instance, I will love your children naturally. If I love only children, not you, then. So love God. For the sake of God only, who has attached all the children and others as a reaction that you pass, love them too. Give and take freely, with all love and devotion, because God has united you. Then in that case, you are not attached to the world. You won't come back to the world. You simply go where you are only and solely devoted. I gave an example. There was a king. He just arranged some show in which he placed very wonderful things, very costly things placed there, and asked his subjects go over there and just have anything, whatever they want. But their choice will be only one thing. When they have made a choice, they will have that thing and no other. So whoever went there, oh, this is very beautiful, this is very costly, he took up. Tied that and took it off. Then again, he cannot choose another thing. There is one young girl, very wise within, and outer appeared to be very normal. So she was praising, oh, this is very beautiful, that is very beautiful, that is very attractive, this and that. So she went down, just thinking, so costly things, these are placed by somebody, and gave chance for everybody to have anything they like. But who is there? Where is he? He went on all through that show. At the end of the show, king was sitting, who had arranged all that. He said, who is the king? He had arranged all these things, all right? Then she proceeded to just touch or put a hand on his head. And the king was just wondering, well, look here, all my subjects are only for my gifts, not for me. You see? There's only one man coming to touch me, who want me and no, nothing else. He made it very in a mood. He said, oh, what are you? Go and touch somebody, something, and have it. The show is being over now. She just went up, put her hands on the head of the king, and asked the king, who you are now? Then I'm yours now because you touched me. And who has arranged all this show? Get the eye. This is mine. Then now, as you are mine, this whole show is mine. You follow me? So if we want to bear forth fruit, derive full fruit from the devotion we have wholly and solely devoted to. For a while, do one thing at a time. Such like devotion, maybe for a few minutes, that will bear forth fruit. If you sit for hours and your attention diverted, divided in so many things, such like devotion won't bear fruit. Now think where you stand. Ab aap sochi aap kahan roz bhakti baithte ho na, bhajan bhi karte ho, kya bana kya? Ek to bhagwan ko sab jagah dekhta, ek ke saath saath phirta hai, bhav karna. Hum wonder karte hain kaise phirta. Are uski yakshui hai, wo usi ke liye jeeta. जब सारी तवज्जो एक जगह हो जाए तो भगवान प्रकट हो जाए, पत्थरों में हो जाए. तो ये है, रोज कोई ना कोई नया मजमून होता है. समझने की बात है, रहो अपनी समाधि में, काम यही करना होगा, जब बैठो उसको भूल जाओ, बस शरीर को भी भूल जाओ, तुम रहो या वो रहे, होली डिवोटेड, ऑल अटेंशन जब सेंटर होगी ना एक जगह, दैट विल बी अ फुल फ्रूट। तो भाई जो बात यहां समझ आती है इसको नोट नहीं करो, समझो और एक्ट अप टू इट, फिर खुद आप देखोगे वही भक्ति जो आप कर रहे हैं इतनी फलदायक हो रही, वही जब तब करोगे, खाली ख्याल करने से फलदायक हो। हम पूजा करते हैं किस लिए, प्रभु के लिए। पूजा करते करते अगर ये सब भूल जाए ये अच्छा है कि नहीं, देखते हैं ये ठीक नहीं है, ये जो ठीक नहीं जगह, और जो जिसके लिए जगाई उसका ध्यान करो ना, मतलब से यही वो ज्योति स्वरूप है। तो अगर कोई महात्मा तुमको अंतर में उसकी कुछ पूंजी दे दे, डिमॉन्स्ट्रेशन दे दे, होली सोली स्टे आग उस पर करो, भक्ति क्यों नहीं फलेगी। तो ये है तरीका जिससे कि भक्ति हमारी की हुई फलदायक हो सकती है। देखो कुछ की बातें करने से युक्त हुई आती है, दिल को टिकाव मिलता है, बातें कर रहे हैं ना, अगर सचमुच उसके साथ लगे तो क्या करें। Today's subject is what are the impediments on the way. So, first of all, for the ladies, they should not always be thinking of the men or learn such like novels which gives these love-lorn novels, I would say, you see. That's the thoughts. The lady should not think of the men, and men should not think or learn anything on the books, etc., about the ladies. That, I want to say, dwells thoughts of lust in us. That's one thing. Sometimes when we are going to a master, somebody, those who are on the way, men or women, they go on together for the sake of the master, and they should forget whether they are men or women. All are equal, they should not think of the opposite sex. Then it's all right. But on the way, ABC starts when somebody goes to tell you about the master, you are devoted, naturally attached to him. And further on, when you are always think of the master is left aside. And that man intervenes, whether it's a man or woman. Naturally, what is the result? Your devotion is, inner progress is stopped. Your devotee somewhere else. So woman should not think or learn such read such like books in which they love Lord tales are given, you see. Ladies about the men and men about the ladies. That's the first impediment on the way that you get. It does not mean we should not love anybody. But for the sake of the master or God, we should love all who go to him. I was just mentioning about one Majnu who was very fond of Lala, his beloved. So one day he saw one dog. He began to kiss his feet, claws, you see. People asked him, why are you doing that? He said, I saw this dog sometimes going into the street of my beloved, you see. For that purpose you may love. But when the purpose of the love is for the sake of the master, you see. This is one of the impediments, I think, very most effective way in which men are driven away, you see. Their attention is diverted from higher place to lower one. This is one thing. The other thing, if you just always reading about money and earning money, and people such as have gone millionaires and this and that, always learning about that, or hearing talks about that, naturally you dwell within you the greed. Third, man is known by the society he keeps. Don't have the society of someone who are given up to these two things. Because by society, you become that. Those thoughts always be reverberating your mind. You see? Then after that, you will find, sometimes you think of our enemies, you see, such a man is against us, this and that thing. That always comes in your mind again and again, you think of him. That creates hatred within you. This is it. Fourth thing which stands in the way, you see. Sometimes for the sake of name and fame, such a man rising in the world, he's becoming known in the world. Why I'm not? All the time his own, he may be a devoted man first, but these things one by one come in the way and our devotion does not bear fruit, retarded, no problem. You first, anything with dirty thought or lust in you, that should be avoided. Maybe society, maybe books, novels you are reading, this and that. You should avoid such like books or such like society where people are given up to money, women and gold. Their society also will dwell thoughts like that. And further, you got any man who has done anything against you, any wrong to you, well, that will dwell enmity, hatred within you. It is better to forgive and forget. Sometimes for the sake of name and fame, sometimes by acting and posing, I am very saint, this and that thing, you have to do so many things, you see. These very things stand in the way. If anybody else just serves you or is devoted to you, you see, you have got, for instance, one example I will give, you have got in your bank only 100 rupees, $100. Whoever thinks, looks to you with all devotion, you see, he sends in a bill, debit bill against you. Yes, if devotion is diverted from higher to the lower, he has to bear the fruit. He will have return for that, whether you have got the money in your bank or not. You will become bankrupt. Mind that. Those who can give something, they expect something in return. Nobody can give a glass of water without any purpose. If anybody gives you something with sweets and so many things like that, leave aside the question of master, you see, he is selfish worker. But all others, they expect something in return. Whether you want to give it or not, that is debit against you. You follow me now? That is why master say, earn your own money, live on your own earnings, and share with others. There should be a question of give and take. For the selfless work, that's another, for the good of the cause, that's another thing. And for that also, you should not want anything in return. That will only become then selfless, not otherwise. If you want something in return, you give something to the foreigners for the good work. You want something in return. So if you share only, contribute, you say share, with no return in view, then yourself. So these two things especially, women think of men, men think of the woman, always learning about that, reading about that, naturally that will lust. They are more attached there than the place where they are attached before. That stands in the way. And about that devotion or whatever we do, that does not bear for fruit. Sometimes on account of name and fame, competition, we go on thinking always like that. That also creates hatred within us. Sometimes we do acting and posing, we are like that. Really, you are not that. You are deceiving your own self, the God in you first, and then deceive others. How long? The cat must be out of the bag, you see. So, thinking of the opposite sex, then when you are devoted to that, don't think of your man or woman. That's only body, you see. You think always of the body, naturally you the opposite sex will be attached. You remember Christ said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Even husbands and wives too, they have one duty of begetting children, not everything, you see. That's only having a companion in the lifelong sojourn, you see. And both of them to reach God. That's the main thing. These are the things that stand in the way. One, as I told you, men should not always think, learn not this about you. And ladies should also not learn, always hear and this too much at time. If you have to love one another, love for the sake of the master, forgetting your sex. This is one thing. Second thing is, if you have got society or someone who is very wealthy, growing rich and rich, you are always having that coming, that you want this thing, should I also should have. Greed will do it, you see. And the third thing is the society. Man is known by the society. So society, you see, develops quicker results, you see. Any kind of society you have. And fourth is acting and posing. Fifth is for the name and fame, man competes. So these are the things which stand in the way of your devotion. Not if you think of anybody, greed, you develop greed within you. A man who is already getting $100, he will be after $200. Man will be after $1,000, and $1,000 will go up, you see. Always thinking of the lust, women are gold, that's all. You'll hear, just hear somebody quietly. You'll find most of the people are talking of women are gold. If you got good companion, have it. Otherwise, remain all alone with your own self, with the master or the God within you. If you do that way, your devotion or bhakti, even done for a short time, that will give you more, 100 times more results than the other way. Otherwise, the devotion is lost, you see. And one thing more, those who are not believers in God, naturally there dwell some doubts within you. So avoid all these things. You get good company, that's all right. If not, live to your own self.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. This morning our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Morning, yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. We'll begin with Master's invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. This morning's satsang will be Master Kripal Singh's The Night is a Jungle, continuing with Chapter 4, The Most Natural Way. All religions say the same thing. Love God, and further, as God resides in every heart, love all humanity. This is the best way of leading our outer life. If followed naturally, the kingdom of God would surely come on earth, for which we so often pray but are disappointed. Next, we have to enter into the kingdom of God, reach our true home. The way to it starts when we rise above body consciousness. But how are we to achieve this? All scriptures speak of the way that leads back to God. We have to find this way. There are so many different methods that we may follow. But which of them is the most natural, the most easy, and can give us the quickest results, so that we can realize the truth in this very life and not have to wait till after death? I met a man in California who came to me and told me that his master had said that his inner eye had been opened. I asked him if he saw anything within, to which he said no. I asked him what made him believe this. He replied that his master had said so, and therefore it must be so. I advised him not to follow blindly, but to see things for himself. Another man came up and said, "My master says I will have salvation after death." But I asked him, "Where's the proof that you will have it?" "People are the truth, I tell you. I quite see the search for truth everywhere in the world. Men have been seeking for truth for years and years, through books, through rituals, through countless other means, but they have not gained practical experience of the reality." I met a very learned man in San Francisco. He is the organizer of all the international religions conferences that are being held now in Japan, France, Germany, and other places. He heard one of my talks in which I dealt with this subject. At the end, he admitted that what I said was true and that he had not seen the light within. The people are after it, no doubt, and many of them are quite sincere, broad-minded, and opened to conviction. The question arises, of the many yogas, which is the best, the simplest, the easiest, and the most suited to our times? The masters teach you the most natural way. Natural ways are always the easiest. Easy things can be followed by anyone, anywhere. Even a child should be able to see the light of heaven within. There are so many yogic practices. We have hatha yoga. It gives us physical fitness, a strong body, for one thing. And for another, it prepares the way for another type of yoga, the prana yoga. Prana yoga gives control over the respiratory system in the body and enables one to withdraw the motor and sensory currents together at the seat of the soul within. The body is simply left as a clod of earth, without breath or motion. This is technically called kumbhak. When we achieve this withdrawal of the pranas, vital airs, we see the light of God and hear the voice of God within. This is a difficult and arduous way. Everyone is not fit for it. Everyone cannot follow it. The body must be sound and strong. For this we have to take to the hatha yoga practices for a long time to make our body fit. And then we can take it up. Those who are physically unfit, if they take it up, they fall a victim to different diseases. Next, there is laya yoga, which is concerned with the awakening of the kundalini or the serpentine power. That is also practiced through controlling one's breathing. We have to awaken all centers in the body and go up step by step. There are other forms of yoga as well, which enable one to control his mind. They ask us to visualize within some outer object so that we may have something to concentrate our thoughts upon. Then there is jnana yoga, for grasping the reality within by the sheer force of intellect. A very difficult path indeed, I may say. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, "To grasp the infinity by the finite intellect is as impossible as to quench thirst by taking wine or to extract oil from sand. How can the finite intellect grasp the all-pervading reality within its narrow compass? That is a sheer impossibility. This is why Confucius said, "The reality is something which cannot be grasped, cannot be understood, and cannot be comprehended." This is why he turned from the spiritual to the ethical side of life. Can we possibly come in contact with that reality? All the masters with one voice emphatically say yes. Guru Nanak says, The Lord God of Nanak is visible everywhere. Swami Vivekananda, who came to America some years ago, began life as an atheist. He would challenge people to show him God. He would question, "Is there anyone who has seen God?" He was told to visit Dakshineswar in Bengal and meet Ramakrishna Paramahans. He went there all puffed up with his intellectual attainments. Ramakrishna appeared to him like an ordinary man. You see, the masters do not act and pose. They do not believe in any show. They just behave like ordinary individuals. He found the sage first on the grassy plot adjoining his hut and put to him his oft-repeated question, "Master, have you seen God?" And what was the reply? "Yes, my child, I see him just as I see you, only more vividly." At these words coming from the heart of a man of realization, Vivekananda bowed down. And throughout the rest of his life, he always declared, "Only through that God-man was I saved. How then is salvation possible? All masters say, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." For salvation, then, we must develop our single eye. But how to find it and how to develop it? Guru Nanak tells us that the single eye is spoken of. Guru Nanak tells us that the single eye spoken of is not of flesh and bone, as are our outer eyes. It is the inner eye, the eye within you, and this is to be opened. But how? One who has his own eye opened and has seen the light of God is also capable of giving you firsthand experience of it. Seeing is believing, and when you see for your own self, you will require no further testimony. On the other hand, the blind cannot lead the blind. An awakened soul alone can awaken souls slumbering on the plane of the senses. As light comes from light, so does life from life. A man of realization can grant an experience of the reality to others. He who has risen into cosmic awareness can make others arise in that awareness. So it is not an impossibility. All masters have testified to this. Shamas of Tabriz says, "We should be able to see God with our own eyes and hear the voice of God with our own ears." Excuse me. All masters have testified to this again. Shamas of Tabriz says, "We should be able to see God with our own eyes and hear the voice of God with our own ears." This is no new thing. It is the most ancient science and the most authentic. Another Muslim saint, Moyin Uddin Chisti tells us, you have to open the inner eye to behold the glory of God within. It is already there. A true Christian must know how to cross over the body consciousness to see the light of God. A true Muslim must witness the glory of God from the top of Mount Tor, which is our body. The prophet Moses used to go up to Mount Sinai to hear the Decalogue in the midst of lightning and thunder. Similarly, a true Sikh, Khalsa, is one who sees the light of God in his own person. The scriptures tell us that Guru, Master, is one who can dispel darkness in man by revealing the light of heaven. The Christians figuratively call the spot where the light is seen the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the goal before us. It is possible and within the reach of everyone. When? When you come in contact with some practical adept. He will be a man, as any of you are, but he has inner experience of truth and is competent to give the same experience to you. If he gives you experience at the very outset, you will expect more from him. You can expect more from him. What type of yoga do the masters teach? I have just mentioned several types of yoga. There are other types as well, which enable us to concentrate and dwell on the lower ganglions in the body. They aim at awakening the different supernatural powers thereby. But the true aim of life is to know one's self and to know God, and not to have supernatural powers. To one who practices the highest type of yoga by following the path of the masters, all such powers come to themselves. One has not to work for them, but a true seeker of God bypasses all such temptations. What then is the most natural yoga? What do the masters teach? The path of the masters is known as Sahaj Yoga, the natural yoga, or the Surat Shabd Yoga, the yoga of the sound current. What is Surat? It is the soul within each one of us, the outward expression of which is the attention, or what is known as consciousness, awareness, or wakefulness. When you open and close your eyes successively for some time, you will feel a kind of wakefulness and consciousness behind the eyes. This wakefulness or consciousness is the self in you, and that you are. In the waking state, it is diffused in the body and is engaged in outer pursuits of the world through the agency of the senses. But it can be withdrawn and concentrated within. The master helps in withdrawing the sensory currents, collecting them at the center, and gives an inner contact with the word power within, the divine link in each one of us. This God power is known by different names. St. John speaks of it as the Word. It is the Holy Christ, Holy Ghost of Christ. The Muslims call it Kalma or Ism-i-Azam, while the Hindu rishis call it Shruti or Udgit. Zoroaster gave it the name of Shwasha or the creative verbum. Guru Nanak speaks of it as Nam. It is the creative power of God, which is controlling the universe. This sound principle, or divine harmony, is the core of all that is. And what is God? You find the same thing mentioned in the Bible. St. John begins his gospel with the memorable words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Dryden, a great English poet, in his poetic fancy calls it harmony and ascribes the creation to the great power of music. This word existed even before the creation came into being. God the Absolute is wordless and nameless. When that Absolute came into manifestation, it was given different names, as said before: Word, Kalma, Nam, Sruti, Udgit, etc. This first and primal manifestation of the Absolute in the form of the sound principle is the divine link within each one of us, and this power is all-pervading and everlasting. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible further tells us, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. That is the creative power, upholding all things by the word of his power. The Bible calls that creative principle the word. As I told you yesterday, unless you know the specialized terminology of the masters, you cannot know the true import of the scriptures. The word, as used throughout the Bible and especially by St. John, is one example of such terms. And so are many others in different scriptures. That word is lasting, everlasting, and abiding forever and forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God does not mean the words uttered by the masters. Their words of wisdom simply express the word of God in its creative, controlling, and sustaining power over all that is visible and invisible. This power existed right from the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That divine link is within every man. The Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament speaks of the Word of God as, "For the Word of God is quick," which means living, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That power is denoted by the term word. So God is the nameless or the wordless one. When that power came into being and assumed a manifest form, God in action, it became the primal cause, the causeless cause of all creation in the higher and lower spheres. And that first manifested form of the Absolute is the only way back to God. What we have to do is to contact that divine link, which is the supporting power of all creation. We owe our very existence to this powerful link within us, which is uniting the radiant soul with the gross physical body. When that power is withdrawn, the connecting link snaps and the soul departs, leaving the body a lifeless clod of clay. This we call death, the dissolution of the microcosm. When this power is withdrawn from the world, there follows grand dissolution. This divine link is in every heart. With that, we have to establish contact, a real and living contact. But how? You can find it by transcending physical consciousness. The Bible says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." One who is word personified will naturally be able to join you with the word within. That power ever abides in us. It is the bread of life, and verily we live by it, though we have never recognized it. Christ tells us, whosoever partaketh of this bread will have everlasting life. He never meant his body, but the word personified and within him. It is often described by the sages as the water of life. Christ says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But how to get this bread of life or water of life that bestows life everlasting? How to sip this elixir? All the scriptures tell us in one voice that it can be had from a living saint who is an embodiment of this active life principle. It will not cost you anything, not a farthing. It is as much a gift of nature as light, air, and water. This experience of truth you can get through the grace of a living master, competent enough to contact you with the divine link within. What is this experience like? The Bible says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And further it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That shows there is some experience of light within. And then there is something else as well. The sound principle. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You will have to rise above body consciousness before you can come in contact with the word, with that word power within. It means an experience of light, the light of God within you. And this is the beacon light that saves. The righteous runneth into it, and it is safe, and is safe. Excuse me. To those who are just put on the path of the masters, there comes a marvelous change in their life and conduct. Steadfast in the power of the word, they are saved by it and escape from the cycle of births and deaths. The dissolutions and grand dissolution have no effect on them. It is then said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Mark the words, out of the mouth of God. This experience, revelation of light, comes about by the grace of an adept in the science of spirituality. The master has to transmit his own life impulse when he puts us on the way and gives us a contact with the all-powerful, live, and vibrant cord within. With this manifestation within, we learn the significance of the words of the Master Christian. The Son knows the Father and those to whom the Son reveals. And again, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What I mean to say is that the word power, has two aspects. One is of sound, and the other is of light. This is the natural way. The masters do not touch the breathing system. They do not invoke the aid of pranas, for the simple reason that pranas have an independent function in the body and do not in any way interfere with our daily pursuits like walking, talking, eating, drinking. If we can ignore the pranas otherwise, they can safely be bypassed in spiritual sadhas as well. The work of God can as well be performed without the intervention of pranas or vital airs. They have eliminated that part of the show altogether to make the system easier and in accord with the present times. Even a child, if he is made to sit, is given an experience. He begins to see light and hears the tinkling of bells. This, then, is the natural way that is given by the masters. It is the most suitable for these days. The secret of success lies in the conscious entity within us. The concentration of attention is all that is needed. Whenever a thing is done with undivided attention, the result is sublime. Even physical exercises with an eye on bodybuilding processes will make you strong and healthy. Similarly, when your attention is directed to the centers of the brain, you become intellectual stalwarts. When you fix your attention or soul on the divine link within, called the Word, you become spiritually great. Everything can be achieved by the direction of attention. It is why Emerson said, the key to success is one's own thought. All that is required is the proper direction and guidance. For this, you need no outer ceremonies and rituals. You can remain wherever you are. The way is within you. The easiest way, the natural way, to go back to God is therefore by means of contact with the sound principle. This is the most natural yoga which befits our times. On account of our short span of life and other inherent infirmities, we are not hereditarily and temperamentally fit to take up the harder yogic ways. There are other ways as well, but this is the simplest, easiest, and the most profitable. I visited a village in India where a man had been engaged in prana yoga practices for over 40 years. I went to him. He was a thin and emaciated figure. That type of yoga requires a stout and strong body, for which you must have hatha yoga practices and others to make you strong before you take to that way. His body was so weak that he could not even talk or move easily. On being questioned as to the results achieved in 40 years of prana yogic discipline, he informed me that at times he would see a streak of light and occasionally hear some sound indistinguishable within. Just compare the strenuous labor with the insignificant results achieved. When he was told of the natural way and asked to experiment, his joy knew no bounds, and he discovered quicker and better results in shorter time. What I mean to say is that the natural ways are always easier. The natural yoga does not interfere with the pranic system, which is a complicated affair. I do not deny the efficacy of the prana yoga, but are we fit for it? As explained above, we are not. The masters, therefore, simply taught, let pranas do their own function in the physical frame. Ignore them altogether as one does when engaged in various activities. Withdraw the spirit currents and see within. That is all. The Surat Shabd Yoga, or Yoga of the Sound Current, needs initiation or first-hand experience from some competent master in the line who is capable of giving some spiritual experience. When he puts you on the way, you see things for yourself. If you can have a little from him in the beginning, you can also expect more from him later. Moreover, the master, being in tune with the infinite, is an unerring guide on the God way and an unfailing friend both within and without. He has the competency to appear to you within, as some of you had an experience of this morning, and guide you on the inner spiritual planes as well. A Mohammedan saint says, He who can give you instructions outside when on the physical plane and go up voluntarily while alive, as at the time of death, has the competency to appear to you within and give you guidance there. Such indeed is the Master. That is what I have told you. I have not given you any rigmaroles, but facts from the scriptures. Until we come to and sit at the feet of some practical master, we do not see things for our own selves. When we see our own self, no further testimony will be required. Of course, certain prerequisites are necessary. And what are these? To restrict ourselves to a strict vegetarian diet, for the reason that we should have normal lives. The diet which excites passions has to be avoided altogether. It is better to have a light, simple, and natural diet, which is an aid to spiritual sadhana or practice. Those who take up the practices concerning the lower centers of the body do take meat, the Mohammedans and people of other religions also. But those who are anxious to rise above body consciousness and go into the beyond have of necessity to eschew all that. This is the path that I have put before you. Liberation or salvation is something which starts only when you rise above body consciousness. For that reason, vegetarianism is the first essential. Another is that of abstention from intoxicants. You are a conscious entity. You have to rise in cosmic consciousness and go beyond into the superconsciousness. These things which go to muddle your consciousness or make you morbid and lose your consciousness are to be avoided. Therefore, leave off all intoxicants, liquors, narcotics, smoking, and all kinds of drinks, unnatural and artificial. The third requirement, of course, is good character and ethical life in thoughts, words, and deeds. These are the essential requirements which qualify a man to tread the God way. If you do not detach yourself from the above things, your further progress on the way will be retarded. Moreover, even in ordinary life, if you observe these instructions, that will give you a blessedness unknown hitherto. That concludes chapter 4 of The Night is a Jungle. In closing, each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. And that concludes our satsang. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today we had 77 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this to us. Now please hang up your phone.